Welcome back to the Space to Build podcast. We're officially on the fifth season. And if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for tuning back in. And if you're new to the show, my name is Catherine Tennis. I am your host. I meet up with women from around the world in architecture, engineering, and construction for a virtual coffee chat. These weekly episodes are your chance to meet ambitious mentors that want to help you achieve your own career goals. In this episode, we are joined by our special guest, Dr. Nikisa Nikki Alborz, who shares insights into her interdisciplinary career and innovative roles in the construction industry. She has 20 plus years of operational, academic, and administrative experience in the construction industry. One of her key focus areas includes the advancement of technology, learning, and innovation in the AEC space. She is currently in an inaugural role at Bond Civil and Utility as a Technology Learning and Innovation Manager. As usual, we start off with my favorite question to get to know her a little better. She shares with us how interdisciplinary backgrounds have influenced her life from the get-go. She explains the values of interdisciplinary exposure and fostering creativity and fresh perspectives, and how it took her from project controls to her new position. And how can you approach your managers for new opportunities and how to get buy-in from your own team members on an innovative idea? We also discussed the impact of virtual reality training and gamified learning in her industry. How did she become knowledgeable and how did she tackle this approach? Nikki's journey exemplifies the power of interdisciplinary thinking and carving one's path to innovation in our construction industry. And it could not have been made possible without the support of her leaders and co-workers at Bond. Bond Civil and Utility is a premier full-service construction management and self-performing general contractor working for the civil, utility, power, energy, and infrastructure markets. Bond is well known for delivering reliable, safe, and high-quality work with offices in Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. Bond employs more than 700 building and construction professionals, including 460 field staff and 54 administrative staff members. For more information, please visit www.bond-civilutility.com. Now, let's jump right into our interview. Who is Nikki as a human being?
Ooh, that is a packed question. I would say, firstly, I see myself as a global citizen, especially because I've had the fortune of being able to spend time in different parts of the world and being exposed to different diverse backgrounds and people throughout my life. So I see myself as someone who deeply cares about everything, has varied interests in a variety of topics, languages, cultures, disciplines, and I see myself as someone who likes to think holistically, globally, as well as locally on, you know, a sense of community as well as professional, but also personal growth. And of course, I also love music and sports and really work hard to kind of keep them as part of my daily life, because I know that things can get hectic for all of us, right? With like life and work, but keeping your hobbies as a priority as well have been kind of critical to my identity.
I love that you just live it, right? You're not siloing yourself in any way, shape, or form. You just embrace everything and you try to create a holistic experience for yourself.
I do. In my mind, I see everything as being interconnected, kind of like the ideology and theory of like quantum mechanics, right? Like of entanglement. And I see everything as being entangled, whether it's human behavior, disciplines, our world, the theories behind what makes our world work, whether it's STEM or not. So I really see a connection with everything that we do and all the industries and how they can, you know, play onto each other and how it can kind of open different parts of your mind to become more creative in what you're doing. And, you know, having an impact, like a discipline that you may think has nothing to do with you or the industry that you're in, can really be insightful and can, you know, add to that creativity and help you think about things from a different perspective. So that's where I really kind of see interdisciplinary exposure as such a huge added value, because it can help you think differently.
I definitely agree. So Did you ever picture yourself going into construction, and what led you to construction?
I have to say the credit all goes to my family. They were really my first point of exposure to the AC and business industry. Like my grandfather was a welder. He worked on petroleum pipelines in Iran with U.S. companies. So I was always fascinated by the work that he did. My father was a civil engineer, took me to construction sites as a kid. I remember like wreaking havoc on site, not wearing my PPE, trying to figure out what people were doing. It was like a super busy environment and very exciting because there was such high energy. I mean, anyone who's been on a construction site knows that there's so much going on. It's like a symphony, right? Like there's so much going on. There's so many instruments and people, but it's so well organized. And at the end of the day, the music is really the end product, the asset, whatever they're building. So being exposed to that helped me understand that this was a field that I would be interested in. But also on my mom's side, my mom was a business owner, very independent, strong female, great role model. I always wanted to be involved in what she was doing. So, you know, I would squeeze myself in there and be like, I'm going to take all the appointments. I'm going to figure out how to do this or the pricing or negotiate this price. So it was a combination of my family members who really helped me understand that that was kind of the space I wanted to be in. So they were my role model.
That's such a fun way to just marry the two experiences you had growing up to take the next stage of your life through. So what do you currently do in our industry?
So at Bond, when I started, I was a project control specialist. So my focus was on project control. And then I was also doing a lot of other series of functions that were not necessarily project controls, but they intersected, of course, with project controls, but they also went beyond and added value to project teams and the overall long-range strategic plan of our company. So then I was given the space to build my own role, which was the technology learning and innovation manager. And having that opportunity to really pull in all the elements that have made up my CV over my career into one new role that we worked on developing together. So my current role is a technology learning innovation manager, and I focus on the intersection of all these categories, but also their pure form individually as well.
Oh, that is so cool. So for people who aren't as familiar with project controls, what does that entail?
Well, so project controls is actually a very well-established discipline, and it looks at how you can control the success of a project, looking at it from the angle of cost, schedule, quality, earned value, and how do you maintain your goals for the project to meet success on a very periodic cadence, so that you have a very consistent series of standards that you're evaluating your project by, so that you meet your success goals, so that you're building on time and budget and of high quality.
I can see that natural progression into your current role of technology learning innovative manager. Is that it?
Yeah, innovation.
Innovation.
This role adds value is by looking at cutting edge technology, pioneering technology in both like the areas of data analytics, KPIs, key performance indicators, globally as well as locally. And every department will have like their unique data needs, right? They want to see data in a particular way to inform their design process or their decision-making process. And on top of that, we have to do a lot of learning as well and understanding why we're doing some of the things we're doing. Like, why are we tracking costs? Why are we tracking schedule? Why do we care about quality? What are the processes to be used for all of those? So the learning component also comes in that avenue, but also kind of like, you know, more cutting edge learning when it comes to things like life safety training. I've had the fortune of working very closely with our VP of field operations, as well as our director of safety, to develop curricula around role-specific required safety training and bringing in virtual reality training as well, so that it's a full immersive experience and you get a more holistic experiential experience than you would if it was just a lecture or if it was like a flipped classroom kind of experience.
Okay. So then when you say virtual reality, what does this training look like?
So imagine you are plopped into a site and you have to do a series of actions to maintain your safety. And you are walking through the site, you're wearing your PPE, maybe you're at a height and you have to be tied off. And so you really get to experience what would it feel like if I was not tied off my belt? Or what would it feel like if I was in the line of fire? So that's very different than someone telling you what you would feel like, right? You're experiencing the feeling rather than being told the feeling. And also you have to do a series of actions and decisions to win the game, because it is a game, right? Like you're in this video game environment, this virtual reality environment, and you're expected to take a series of decisions to maintain your safety. And so because you're making these active decisions and you're an active participant of this environment, you're able to really fully experience what you would feel like if you were on site and you had to make those decisions as well.
Wow, that sounds like years of work went into designing this and putting it together to create what sounds like a really cool experience for training. Did you have any experience in video game design? Or how did you come up with this idea?
So there are companies out there who have developed these video games. So obviously video gaming is not a new industry, right? We have seen it more kind of on the fun play side of the house. And now we're seeing more of a presence of video gaming on the, you know, work environment, educational video gaming, you know, gamifying education. So we're seeing more of that become the norm. And so we partnered, for example, with Pixera to look at some of their life safety solutions. And they have put in a lot of effort in the design of these kinds of games for the life safety features. This was a notion that from our company president and CEO, they are all on board with having these kinds of experiences. And so this is kind of how I started exploring, well, how can we make our learning more fun? How can we make it more immersive? How can we also diversify the modality of how these trainings are being rolled out? Everyone learns differently. Some are more experiential. Some need to establish some kind of muscle memory. So how do we bring different types of educational content to the floor so that everyone can kind of pick and choose also what works best for them?
That is so cool. I love that you're really trying to go that next step to encourage people to understand why and to develop stronger, more positive habits as they approach their jobs. You didn't have background in this, correct?
No, so I didn't have a background in game design per se, but I did take a class recently through the MIT X-Pro program. And the course is a really cool course that introduces you to augmented and virtual reality, both from a global perspective and then also the tools that you would need to create this kind of content. So some of the modules covered the skill set you would need to actually go into those game design engines and build a game. Obviously, as when I was a professor, I've created a lot of content that was recorded and then edited using like editing software, but it wasn't creating a series of assets in a game design engine where you can have a full immersion experience. Right. So that's like a very different skill set than creating a course that could be released virtually versus a virtual reality course. And so in this course, for example, that I took, some of those kinds of skills were introduced, like the use of Blender or Unity or Unreal or NVIDIA Omniverse. And these are all different game design engines where you build assets and you bring in 3D models and you create that environment. And then you create the animation or the kind of coding behind what happens next. And if you do this, you know, what's going to be the next stepwise logic that the computer program is going to take you through. And that is really how you're building your game or your educational VR experience.
Very cool. So obviously there was a lot of learning and growing you had to do on the back end. Now, in terms of the user experience, does it seem to come pretty naturally to your coworkers, or is there more of a learning curve for some people?
So we haven't rolled it out fully yet, but the intent is for it to be so user-friendly that you may have never gamed before. You may have never been in an immersive environment. You put on the headset, you have your controllers, and it's a very user friendly environment in terms of the user design, user interface design, so that regardless of your, you know, gaming experience background, you'll be able to just put it on and know what to do. And of course, we do have trainings on how to use the equipment or how to use a training or how to use an app. So that also goes hand in hand with the release of this VR training. Would be there'd be some training on how to use it, how to navigate. And there's no like wrong or right answer on the experience, right, either. So if someone doesn't feel comfortable with this kind of modality, then we have other modalities too. So give them that flexibility.
I like that. You feed to everybody's learning preferences too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So we kind of hinted at the whole interdisciplinary approach to life, really, not just like our careers. What made you realize that like this is a track for you, that you need to take the video game side, the construction side, and like marry these things together? What was that spark for you?
So I think it's just, for me, it was like a natural intersection because I'm so interested in so many different topics and I see the connectivity of everything that we're learning, whether it's in school or college or in the work environment, and really looking at diversifying thought and solutions. So to me, it was like a natural series of progressions of, you know, pursuing gamified learning. And it just, I guess it's just my perspective on interdisciplinarity, you know, because in my mind, everything is connected. And so how can we add value by maybe doing something that is being done in another industry in our industry? You know, and it's a form of innovation, but, you know, you don't have to have an earth-shattering idea for it to be innovative, right? Like, it can be just a redesign or a re-look at the status quo and how you can make improvements. And those are little innovations that in aggregate could really push the needle forward.
Mm-hmm. So have you faced any pushback on making even these smaller changes? And if you have, how did you navigate that?
So I think you have like, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in, you're always going to have like different groups of buy-in, right? Like you're going to have the folks who are like super excited about things, the ones who just want to maintain status quo, and the ones who want to be pioneers, right? Like they're willing to kind of do anything and explore any idea. But I think when you make the value proposition of why that would be a good idea in terms of the financial benefits, you'll win anyone over, regardless of like if they were the pioneers or they were the status quo maintainers, or they were the ones who may have been open to the idea but slightly skeptical. And you're going to see that kind of resistance, varied resistance in any industry with any group of people. And you should always be ready by making your case of why it is that you think that this is a good idea. And also include stakeholders and team members from the beginning of the ideation process, because then you're going to have less resistance because everyone's going to be more involved. Their voices have been heard. Their feedback has been accounted for. And so you're not doing it in a silo. I mean, I don't believe in doing things in a silo. I think it's really important to get anyone who's being impacted by that idea at the table from the beginning. And if they don't want to be a part of it, then that's fine. But at least you extended that invitation and you gave them the opportunity to have a voice at the table so that when this idea becomes more developed, you have less resistance, right? Because everyone was involved.
That is such a good piece of advice to take through any part of your career, right? Getting that buy-in from other people, walking them through your thought process so you're not leaving people in the dark for them to start asking all these questions because they feel like something's missing.
Exactly. And also, you know, you just want to bring in everyone because at the end of the day, it's a team effort. Whatever you're going to do is going to be a team effort. It's going to impact larger groups of people. And having the end users and the stakeholders involved from the inception gives them that trust as well that you're going to bring them in when it, you know, is critical and you do care about their opinion and you do value the input that they're giving you because it can just drive the design process into a much more fruitful value add than if you were doing it in a silo.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to kind of switch gears here and take us into our rapid fire questioning. You ready?
I don't know, hopefully.
It'll be easy. At least I think it will be. Coffee or tea?
Oh, well, I'm a Persian, so it's part of the culture. I can't say one or the other. I have to pick both.
What is your favorite footwear brand for work?
Ooh, can I pick two?
Yeah.
Carhartt and Caterpillar.
Nice. All right. Your favorite tool for work? And this doesn't have to be like on-site specific. This is, what do you use for your job?
Ooh, every day. I would have to say a laptop.
That's a good one. What are you currently reading or listening to?
So I listen to a lot of documentaries on a variety of topics, but I've been really stuck on Quantum World, Great Courses. I think it's part of like Amazon Prime's Great Courses series. Quantum World, Quantum Mechanics, Einstein's Theories.
That's definitely a different answer than I'm used to getting with my guests on here. And I like it. It's refreshing.
Well, I have to ask, what about you?
Oh, what have I recently read or listened to? I have been all over the place. I have such a weird reading habit. Usually reading multiple things at the same time. Currently, I'm reading, well, technically listening to Gathering Blue by Lois Lowry. It's kind of like the next step of The Giver, if you remember that.
No, refresh my memory.
Okay. Oh, goodness. I don't know how to explain it without like giving too many details away. So basically, and these are children's books. Like I remember reading them, I think in middle school or high school, and I just had the urge to just read it again as an adult to get a different perspective on it.
Yeah.
But basically it's these like dystopian environments.
Yeah.
And they actually speak a lot to color and a lot of kind of bucking the status quo as coming of age kids.
Yeah.
And so it's very, very exploratory, fun. And it's like you get to watch the inner workings of somebody's mind as they grow and they learn.
Yeah.
And they kind of come out of their innocence and realize that things around them are incredibly corrupt. And they're like, okay, how do I start changing that, but also keep myself safe?
Oh, I love that. That is so relevant for adults.
It's like, I had no idea, but I was like, dang, this like still hits as an adult, which is really, really cool. And then I'm also listening to an audiobook with my husband, and we've been listening to Jurassic Park.
Well, okay. I like that.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever watched the movies, and I definitely never read the book before. So this one was a really cool first experience.
I mean, I love the fact that you're listening to the movie. So I have to experience that too. I wonder how it would kind of be different. You know what I mean? Because it has to be super different, like watching the movie versus like listening to Jurassic Park.
So this is actually the book. So like the original story before it became the movies and the crazy world that it is today.
Yeah. When I was living in Hawaii, I think some of the movie was filmed there.
Okay,
and
cool.
There were all these tours that they were giving tourists to go to these movie sites. And I remember going to one of them and you could walk in the footprint.
So cool.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, very neat. And like one of the things they talk about in the book that just kind of makes me laugh, the kind of like the owner behind all of it.
Yeah.
It's just like, we have the opportunity to make all this money creating theme parks, doing merchandising, yada, yada. And I'm like, literally, this author probably didn't even realize what he was saying when he wrote that down.
And it has come to fruition. That's awesome.
I want to roll into a couple of wrap-up questions for you. If somebody wanted to pursue a role like yours, what are some resources and tips they should keep in mind?
Being exploratory, dynamic, willing to learn new things and new skills. Definitely being passionate about whatever they're pursuing, right? And giving themselves that space to explore internally what makes them happy, what makes them feel accomplished, and being passionate. You just have to be passionate about whatever you want to do. Because if you're not passionate, it's not going to have the same impact on you and your career and you personally. You know, so I see work and life as to be balanced, but also it's part of our identity, right? And so, you know, being passionate about a topic or a discipline or a role and finding meaning in your day-to-day activity is critical.
You had mentioned that your role is something that you and your higher-ups kind of created for you. And I think that is such a cool experience to have a role that is just yours, that you birthed out of like your excitement and your passion for the industry. How does somebody go about approaching their boss to talk about opportunities like this?
I think the kind of environment of the workplace has changed where, you know, employees have a louder voice, right? They have a bigger presence. They have kind of a different experience in being able to share, for example, with their superiors and with their senior leadership, their ideas. And so because that environment exists, it's a good place to start by looking internally and saying, what are you doing on a day-to-day? How is it different, for example, from whatever your title or role description may be? And how would you repackage your role into what you want it to be, right? And maybe it's you're doing above and beyond your role already, and you're seeing that maybe your title does not reflect what you're doing on a day-to-day. Maybe you really want to, you know, have a different role and responsibilities and daily functions. So it starts with you yourself to do a kind of internal deep dive and do an inventory of what you're doing, and then identifying how it differs from what you're in, and then having that conversation with your supervisor or your senior leadership to start ideating around, what do I want my role to be? What are my daily functions? How can I add value? And really building on that conversation and expanding upon it. So that would be my advice, because I see it as like a multi-step process.
That is, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I could see a lot of people taking this and testing it out. And even if they never ask for that additional role, right, or that new role, it's always good to sit down and process what you're actually doing, you know, and maybe instead of trying to create a non-traditional role, maybe you sit there and you realize, oh, wait, like, I'm ready for that traditional promotion, like that next step. I really have learned a lot and I think I'm ready to move on. And if anything, it should be a good confidence booster to like really sit and say, I've accomplished a lot lately.
You're absolutely right. You know, a lot of times we don't take the time to self-reflect and introspect and really do kind of, you know, the performance evaluation of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it can be a really honest critique of where you are. And you can build upon that, because now you've increased your awareness. You're aware internally what's going on, where you are, what your role is, what your day-to-day functions are. What would make you feel accomplished, what kind of collaborative environment you need or culture you need. And then you can externally pursue that and see, you know, what your avenues could be. And don't be shy about creating your own path, giving yourself that unique pathway that maybe no one else has created yet. Be a pioneer.
Yes, I absolutely love that. So if other people want to reach out to you and continue a conversation with you based off of this episode, how can they connect with you?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to connect with your audience members. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the program. It's been a great conversation. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, and we can also start a conversation there too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the episode today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you would like to chime in on the conversation, you can find us online at space2build.co. Yes, it's .co. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at space2build. When you have a moment, do you mind leaving a review for this podcast? I read your reviews at the end of each episode, and I'm constantly looking for ways to improve. Any ideas to improve your experience will be more than welcomed. And remember, you belong here. There is so much space for you in our industry.